Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys, well, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today we're joined by Ben Wilson. Ben is going to talk to us about working through marriage issues. And Ben is the executive pastor of Grace Community Church in Berea, Kentucky. He is a frequent contributor to Servants of Grace and also to our magazine, Theology for Life. And I'm excited to have him join us today. He has a great episode for you, and it's really, really important that you get what he is going to lay out here today. And at the outro, I'll give you some extra thoughts. So take it away, Ben.
Hello, my name is Ben Wilson. I'm one of the pastors at Grace Community Church in Berea, Kentucky, and we're here on Warriors of Grace discussing working through issues in marriage. And issues are inevitable in marriage. They are going to happen. When two redeemed sinners marry, there is still sanctification to take place, and God is going to use marriage to sanctify the husband and the wife. And marriage, sometimes painfully, has a way of revealing sin struggles we didn't know we had. The man who thought he did not struggle with anger finds himself angry over the smallest of issues. The woman who thought she was compassionate now sees she was not as compassionate as she thought. And the Holy Spirit's work of revealing sin in our lives is a grace. But as that sin is revealed, it can be a cause of conflict and a cause of issues. And Christian marriages must handle these issues in a Christian way, which simply means we need to handle them according to the Bible. Before we get to what the Bible says about handling issues, I'd like to review two realities about the Christian life and marriage. First, all of our lives should be lived in submission to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit." And he writes that before he writes about various domestic relationships, including marriage, he commands the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit. And we do this by being in Scripture and submitting to the Holy Spirit's leadership in our lives. To glorify God in how we work through issues in our marriages, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must live under His sway and His dominion. And second, husband and wives, we are on the same team. And the Bible teaches that in marriage the two have become one flesh, Genesis 2:24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Husbands and wives are working towards the same goal. We are on the same team. And this reality, along with other scriptural realities, should drive away animosity because we are a unit. We are one. And issues present an opportunity to serve one another through love. And it's not a chance to win an argument. It's an opportunity to serve one another. Romans 12, throughout my Christian life, has been very helpful for working out conflicts and issues in my own life. In Romans 12, you may recall, is the beginning of Paul working out the implications for our lives as Christians in light of the glorious gospel that he just wrote about in chapters 1 through 11. And beginning in verse 9 of chapter 12, he gives certain characteristics that are true about Christians. Here's a rather lengthy list. Christians let their love be genuine. Christians abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Christians love one another with brotherly affection. Christians outdo one another in showing honor. Christians are not slothful in zeal, but are fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Christians rejoice in hope. They are patient in tribulation. They are constant in prayer. Christians give to the saints. They look for ways to show hospitality. They bless those who persecute them. Christians rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Christians live in harmony with one another. Christians are not full of pride. Christians associate with the humble and have a humble acceptance of their own wisdom. Christians do not repay anyone for evil, pay anyone evil for evil, but rather give thought to do what is honorable to all. Christians live as much as it depends on them to be at peace with all. Christians do not try to take vengeance on another person, but they leave it in God's hands. When you think about that list, and you think about working through issues, what would it be like to work through issues with another person that possessed these marks? More importantly, think about how you would work through issues in your own marriage if you, as the husband, were characterized by these marks, and your wife. And these verses are instructive for every area of the Christian life, but we're going to intentionally focus on issues. You should approach working through issues so that you can show that your love is genuine. You should hold fast to what is good and abhor evil when you are working through issues. Not only should your love be genuine, but you should love the person you are working through an issue with brotherly affection. Issues, they can be a form of a trial. They can be trials as you are working through the issue. You should be patient in that issue as you work through it. You should pray about the issue. You should pray for the first person you may have an issue with, or the person who has an issue with you. Marriage is a picture of the gospel, and the gospel is the good news that a holy God redeems sinners like you and me through Christ because of his great love. And holiness is an important reality of the good news of the gospel. It's the holy God of the universe that saved us. Therefore, as we work out issues in our marriages, we must rely upon the Holy Spirit to avoid evil and to not repay our spouse according to what they have done. The approach when working through issues should never be payback. That is a form of repaying someone evil for evil. In this case, we should give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And verse 18 of chapter 12 is particularly important as we think about working through issues. Here it is in full. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I found J.B. Phillips' paraphrase of this verse helpful. As far as your responsibility goes, live at peace with everyone. It is so easy when working through issues to primarily focus on the other person. When issues arise, our sense of justice is heightened. To justify how we are acting, we'll say stuff like, "Do you know what they did to me?" Or to take away blame for our actions, we'll say, "You don't know what they did. You don't know how bad they hurt me." But Paul takes our normal, natural way of thinking and turns it on its head. He says, as far as it depends on you, not the other person, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. In other words, when tensions and issues arise, and they will, you need to focus on your responsibility. Paul makes no mention of what the other person may have done or what they are doing. You are responsible for how you respond when working through issues, and the person you are working through them with is responsible for their actions. In God's kingdom, blame shifting is not a valid excuse. So living at peace with all, so far as it depends on you, requires a change of thinking. It requires a change of heart. And this section of Romans reveals the marks of true Christians. What is a Christian? Who is a Christian? A Christian is someone who has been born again by the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Entrance into God's kingdom requires a work of the Holy Spirit, and that work is being born again. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." You must be born again. You must be regenerated to be characterized by this. We must have peace with God before we can live at peace with other people. But now that you have been regenerated, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and one of his fruits is peace. And through his power, you can live peaceably with all. Now, a word of caution is needed here, mainly for people like myself who are conflict averse. I don't like conflict. I don't like issues. I don't even like working through them. I'd rather sweep them through the rug. We are looking at this in the context of relationships, and so is Paul. But there are times when you cannot live peaceably with someone. For example, there could be someone in your life who claims to be a Christian, but their lack of fruit would show otherwise. You can speak the truth and love to them, but it could be that peace is not possible because they do not have peace with God. Also, when we think about defending the truth divides, it will. And you can do that in a loving, a kind, and a gracious way, and in a bold way. But you may not be able to do that in a way that keeps peace with everyone. In fact, it's virtually impossible. But what we're looking at here is, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So Paul wants us to watch how we are paying attention to our own lives, and we should work when it is possible to be at peace with all men. But look at verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. It is extremely difficult, if you are justice-oriented, to live peaceably, because you want that person to get what they deserve. You want justice to happen. But the great reality here is that we can leave it in God's hands, and God will take care of it, so that we can live peaceably with all. So living peaceably with all is connected to God taking care of His people. God will execute wrath against the enemies of His people. So the overarching principle for working through issues is that we must strive for peace in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. The overarching principle for working through issues is that we must strive for peace in the power of the Holy Spirit. But how can we work this principle out in our marriages? One resource I have found helpful in working through issues is the book Peacemaker, and it's based off this verse, Romans 12:18. It is helpful because of the practical applications it has from Scripture for resolving conflict. And although it addresses conflict generally, I believe it's very helpful within the context of marriage. I've also found it helpful because, as I mentioned earlier, I don't like conflict. I don't like being confrontational. I avoid as much friction as possible. But that's not always helpful, and it's not always biblical. My desire for peace often is not aligned with God's desires. So this book has been helpful for me to throw me back on Scripture to give me a guide for working through issues. And there are four basic principles to working through issues biblically. Let me give them to you and then we'll flesh them out. 1, glorify God. 2, get the log out of your eye. 3, gently restore. And then 4, go and be reconciled. So first, glorify God. And this is the beat of the desire for every Christian. That's why we were created. We were created to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do is to be for God's glory and honor. So when issues arise in marriage, they are an opportunity to live out the purpose of our existence, to glorify God. The first question to ask is, how can I please and honor God in this issue? When the husband and the wife are asking this, both individually and together, working through issues in a God-honoring way is possible. It may not be easy, but it is possible. When you determine to work through an issue in marriage, resolve that you will depend on God's grace. Resolve to do everything within your own power to live at peace with your wife. Remember that Jesus' honor is affected by how you act. Pray and ask God to help you trust Him and to live faithfully for Him. You can glorify God by being aware of Satan's schemes. He loves to attack marriages. So use this issue, use the conflict as an opportunity to serve your wife for God's glory. And husband, have a holy determination that no matter how your wife responds during issues, that you will glorify God. You are responsible for your actions. And by God's grace and through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, you can glorify God in how you handle issues. So we want to glorify God, but then we want to get the log out of our own eyes. In other words, we need to examine ourselves. This step is also helpful to decide if this issue is worth confronting. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger. It is his glory to overlook an offense. Sometimes it is best to overlook something your wife has done. It could be with the issue you are thinking through that overlooking it is the best way to live peaceably with your wife in that moment. The offense, the issue, could be minor and can be overlooked. But if the issue must be addressed, the place to start is with yourself and not with your wife. So take some time to examine yourself and your responsibility in this issue. Ask some questions. Am I guilty of reckless words, falsehood, gossip, slander, or any other worthless talk? Have I kept my word and fulfilled my responsibilities? Have I abused my authority? Have I treated others as I would want to be treated? Am I being motivated to address this issue by the lust of the flesh, pride, love of money, fear of others, or wanting good things too much? After asking the Holy Spirit to examine you, repent if sin has been revealed. Confess it. Ask the Holy Spirit to change your attitudes and behavior. And then third, gently restore. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, brothers, If anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Gentle restoration is a key ingredient to living peaceably with the one you must confront about an issue. Gentle restoration. And in order to do this, we need to speak the truth in love and rely on God's grace. There are also some practical considerations that you should keep in mind. First, choose a time and a place that works for your wife. If she's had a long day at work or a long day at home with the children, that's not going to be conducive to working through any issues you might have. In fact, that may just be adding fuel to the fire. If possible, talk in person. Don't handle issues through text or a phone call or email. I'm talking myself here on that one because it is much easier to just send a text or to do a phone call on the way home from work or to formulate an email. You may need to write down what you want to talk about, but do it in person. Communicate clearly so that you are understood. Have a written plan before the conversation. Plan what you're going to say in advance. You may not have to write down every single word, but have a general idea of what you're going to talk about and how you're going to do it in a way that will serve your wife and which will glorify God. Be sure that you state objective facts and not personal opinions. This discussion should be about what happened, not your interpretation of what happened. You are fallible, and you are sinful, and your interpretation could be wrong. So stick to the facts. Use the Bible carefully and tactfully. In other words, don't use it as a weapon to prove your point or to make yourself look better than you do. Weaponized theology is not a theology that is driven by love. Listen to what your wife has to say. Really listen. Don't interrupt her. Ask questions if you don't understand what she said, but really seek to understand. Listen, listen, listen. Last, recognize when you have said what needs to be said and stop talking. I'm really bad about this. I want to make sure I drive home my point. As a pastor, if I'm not careful, I can do it in pastoral counseling situations. I just keep saying the same thing over and over and over. This is the pastor's equivalent of knowing when to land the plane during the sermon. Just say what needs to be said, say it, and then stop talking and listen to your wife. And many couples have an established pattern of how restoration happens. The goal is to make sure that it glorifies God, which can only happen as we are faithful to Scripture. So we've covered three so far. We want to glorify God. We want to get the log out of our own eye. And third, we want to gently restore. And then fourth, we want to go and be reconciled. When someone has wronged you, ask God to change your heart so that you want to forgive them. The moment your wife asks and seeks forgiveness, or you seek it from her, the forgiveness should be granted. When you forgive them, with God's help, you are saying that you will not dwell on the issue. You will not bring it up and use it against them. You will not talk to others about it. You will not allow it to hinder your marriage. So go and be reconciled. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, strive to live peaceably with your wife so far as it depends on you, husband. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. When issues arise, seek ways to glorify God in your handling of them. Examine your own life for where you've sinned. Gently restore the one who has offended you, and then go and be reconciled.
Well, guys, I hope that that was really helpful for you, because as we're going to talk about here in a few weeks, navigating and addressing issues in marriage, it does. It begins with the Bible. It begins with, has God taken your heart of stone and replaced it with a new heart, with new desires and new affections? And are those desires and affections being trained by the Word of God? And because what the Holy Spirit wants to do is He wants to take the truth of Scripture and He wants to massage the truth of Scripture deeper and deeper into our heart, bringing conviction and comfort and growth in the grace of God, so that we will together grow to be like Christ. And that's the heart behind addressing and dealing, working through issues. It's I love the Lord. And so how is that love being worked out in the most one of the most important relationships in our lives, which is our marriage to our spouse? So Ben, thank you so much for serving us. You did a great job. So guys, I just want to encourage you. If this is a big struggle for you, go back and listen to what Ben just taught. Here in about 2 weeks or so, we're going to talk about addressing issues and conflict in our marriages even more. So get ready for that. But I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Warriors of Grace podcast. And until next time, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.